Well, good morning.
Good morning.
That sounded really strong and good. That's great to hear. Good to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us today, as always, our heartbeat and our prayer is that you experience God's presence together as we worship in the Lord's house today. I do have just a couple of announcements that I want to mention, so I do want to draw your attention to the bulletin. I do want to mention briefly our Valentine banquet that will be here before you know it, Saturday, February 15th at 6 p.m. The cost of the tickets is $20 per person, $40 per couple, and Dr. Alan Price, the Director of Missions for the Knox County Baptist Association, will be speaking, and music will be led by our very own Miss Brenda Swenson. You'll also find the menu there. It's going to be a great, great time of fellowship. So if you've yet to get your tickets, we want to encourage you to do so. And so after service today, to my left and to your right, just outside the library, you'll find Margaret Hancock available to sell you those tickets, or you can also call the church office and talk to Miss Cindy. Also, pertaining to Valentine's, you'll notice that our February mission project is helping New Hopewell and Bonnie Kate Elementary Schools by providing items for the teacher's wish list. And so we do have a Valentine tree just outside the library, and we do encourage you to take one of those with you, and those items need to be returned by February 23rd. Brother Dennis is out of pocket today. He has been under the weather, and he's bouncing back and recovering from the flu. So let's continue to pray for Brother Dennis. I know that we've had a few folks in the church family that's been sick in recent days. So let's continue to pray for those that are trying to recuperate. Let's stand together and ask God's blessing upon this service as we dedicate this time to Him. Again, if you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here and pray that you truly experience God's presence. Do us a favor so we can get to know you and get acquainted with you. If you'll take just a few moments and fill out the guest card and simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time. Let's pray together. Father, we are forever grateful for the privilege that we have, that we can just collectively come together this morning to worship you and praise you. Father, we thank you for another day to serve you. And so, Lord, we just give you this service in advance. We pray that you would just stir our hearts, that you would speak to us clearly. Father, if there's someone here today that needs to do business with you, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Father, we pray in advance as we come together to sing these songs, Lord, that we would do so in spirit and in truth as the Bible teaches. Father, we also pray that you would open up our eyes and open up our heart to the gospel. I pray in advance that you would just take our passage of scripture of being fishers of men. Help us to know what that means and what it means to be evangelistic in all that we do and all that we say. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will. Brother John.
All right. You got to sing out this morning because Dennis isn't here and you're stuck with me. So there. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Of the land is Who shall I fear? All right, I want to invite all the kids to come down front with me. Come join me on the steps. Who do we have here today? All right, it's a good group. I see some coming from the back. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, you're coming fast, Grayson. Good to see you this morning. Hey, Trinity. Good morning. Good to see. Oh, come grab a seat. Come grab a seat. Did anybody bring their life vest this morning? No. Well, we're going to go out on the Sea of Galilee.
Yay.
Has anybody ever been on a boat before? No. Hey, grab a seat.
I haven't even been on a Disney cruise before.
Well, now that's a big boat. You know, why would people wear a life vest on a boat? If it tips over, what happens if it tips over?
It sinks.
And what would happen to us?
We would sink.
It did happen. And what would we do if it sank?
We would jump.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to have a story this morning. Have you ever heard about Jesus? He fed 5,000 men and all their families and their kids and everything. I mean, it could have been 20,000 people. And then he left, and there was the Sea of Galilee, he and the disciples, and they needed to cross the Sea of Galilee, okay?
What?
They needed to cross the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus told the disciples to go ahead and get on the boat and go ahead and start crossing. And Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. So Jesus went up to pray. And then about dawn, a little before dawn, Jesus knew, I've got to go catch the disciples. He could see the boat. It was about three and a half miles out in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus wanted to go meet them. So what does Jesus do? That's right. You've studied this story before. That's good, Alicia. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. They didn't know who that was or what was going on. Who's ever seen somebody walking on the lake?
I know.
Was it what that?
I know.
It was really bad weather. There were a lot of waves. It was a rough sea. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out for fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, don't be afraid. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And then they climbed in the boat and the wind died down. So, what did Peter do? Peter saw Jesus out there, right? And Peter, he said, call me to come out. And Peter, what did he do? He went out and started walking on the water towards Jesus, right? Then what happened?
He
sank because he lost faith, right? What does that tell us when we reach out to Jesus?
I know.
What? What does that tell you, Grayson?
God.
Yes, God. What about our faith in Jesus? Do we need to keep our faith in Jesus? We do, don't we? We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Is it easy for us to take our eyes off Jesus sometimes? It is, right? And that's when we sink. So we've got to always keep our eyes on Jesus when we're in times of trouble, like when we're in a storm, like the disciples were with the waves. And we're in situations like that sometimes, right? Okay. All right. Well, why don't we bow our heads together? Dear Lord, thank you so much for our time this morning. I pray that you would lead us and guide us, be with our teachers this morning, be with our pastor, and thank you so much for this house of worship where we can come to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray, dear Lord. Amen.
I do want to draw your attention to the front of the bulletin this morning for our scripture reading. We are looking at Mark chapter 1, and again, a passage that pertains to the Sea of Galilee. It fits in quite well with what Arthur just shared with the children. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, it says this, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together once more. Take time out and greet your neighbor this morning.
Father, we come to thank Thee for the blessings Thou hast given us. Thank Thee for this time together for this church. We come to return a portion of that Thou hast given us. We ask that You take it and use it in the way that Thou knowest best. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I see.
message of discipleship. So we've already considered take up your cross and follow me, and also sell all your possessions and follow me. So today we're going to look at when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we'll look at Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, and we will also look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 for our time together this morning. I've been encouraged by this study. My heartbeat and my prayer as your pastor and as your friend is that we as a church family would be challenged together to be people that understand the cost of discipleship. As we follow Jesus Christ, as we consider the various follow me statements within the Gospels, that we would take each one of them and live them out in our lives. So let's look at this together, unpack this passage, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Again, verse 16, it says, this passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Notice verse 18, it says, and immediately, in other words, they did not hesitate, they did not delay, they did not wait, they simply, instantly jumped at the opportunity to pursue the Lord Jesus. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. We know James and John, also known as the sons of thunder. And they were in their boat mending their nets. And verse 20 says this, and immediately, this is the second time we see the word immediately, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. Let's pray together. Father, we do ask that this morning as we come together to study your word, we pray that you would give us clarity of thought. Father, I pray that you would just allow our passage of scriptures that we'll be looking at today to speak to our hearts, that we would all walk away today with a deeper understanding of evangelism and what you have called us to do in being a witness for you in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, help us to know that evangelism is more than just maybe knowing what's referred to as the Roman road or knowing a handful of Bible verses, but Lord, that sharing the gospel is also living the gospel. Father, that we would be people that live out our faith, that people would be drawn to us because they see something different in our life. Father, help us to be fishers of men. Lord, we ask today, as we have already prayed, if there's someone here today that does not know you personally, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, that they would respond to the gospel message. And Lord, I also pray for those that may be watching by way of social media. Father, we're thankful for technology. And Lord, we ask that you would use these tools for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And so we read the encounter that Jesus has with his first disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John. These men were vocational fishermen and they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. There was a thriving fishing industry of that day, and it was amazing to see how God would use their occupation in a way of discipleship. Jesus uses the metaphor of fishing for men. I mean, can you imagine for just a moment being one of the followers of Christ and hearing these words, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? What does that really mean? And we'll find out today exactly what that means. But it's amazing to see how these men immediately followed Jesus. And so I want to draw your attention to the outline on the back of your bulletin. And listen, don't allow that to scare you. That's a pretty long outline. When I sent it to Cindy, I said, you might even have to make that a bulletin insert. But I do look forward to our sermon today. There's a lot that I want to say about fishing. I'm not a great fisherman. I've never claimed to be a fisherman. I've been fishing on multiple occasions. I had a good friend in high school that loved to fish, and I would tag along with him, and we'd go to Picklick Lake in Hardin County, Tennessee, just close outside of Memphis and Jackson, and I would attempt to be a fisherman, although I was not very good at it. But with that said, I think we all can understand the principle of being fishers of men and what this really means and involves. I also want you to look at another passage of Scripture this morning, So I want you to leave your bulletin there, or maybe a bookmark that you might have. We're going to return to Mark chapter 1 in just a moment. But I do want us to look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and I want us to look at verses 1 through 11. This is another instance where we see the words of being fishers of men, or as Jesus put it, catching men. We'll see that clearly in just a moment. But I think it would be good for us to look at both of these passages and do our best to sandwich them together theologically and understand the calling to be fishers of men. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. This is what it says. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were fishing with their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Look at Simon Peter's response in verse 5. And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, nevertheless, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." Now listen to this. "From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything, and notice this, they followed him. And so there is a direct correlation between discipleship, that is following Christ and understanding what it means to be catching men, to be fishers of men. And so there is so much that we can glean from this metaphor that Jesus gives. Now, there were various teaching methods that Jesus would use. Oftentimes, he would use a parable. By the way, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly . That's exactly what he does here to articulate the principle of being evangelistic in our witness. And so we see that the disciples, James and John and Peter and Andrew, all have this vocational calling to be fishermen. And Jesus uses their occupation as a teaching moment to stress the need to be about the business of fishing for men. So notice on your outline, I've got a quick 3-point outline that we're going to go through rather rapidly, and then we're going to camp out on 8 bullet points that I have and spend time talking about the importance of evangelism and being a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number one, I would simply say this when it comes to fishing. We need to go out. Well, how do we know that? Well, we're here in Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Part of evangelism, part of soul winning, part of sharing the gospel is going out. Hear me today, Meridian Baptist Church. If we want God to use our church to further the kingdom of God, we've got to get out of our bubble. We've got to get out of our comfort zone and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get out. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. Number two on this simple outline, I would simply say we need to go deep. Number two, we need to go deep. Again, verse 4 of Luke chapter 5, it says this, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" There is something to be said about our witness and being simplistic in nature, but yet going deep with our witness. We've got to go out and be a witness, and we've also got to go deep and let down our nets, so to speak, and launch out those nets. And then number three on your outline, I would simply say go fishing. Notice what it says in verse 10 of Luke chapter 5. "And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. In other words, from this point forward, that you are yielding and surrendering your allegiance and your life to me, you will be about the business of catching men. We are called to be fishers of men. Now turn back, if you will, to our original passage of Mark chapter 1, and that's where we'll stay for the rest of our time together this morning. Again, I've never claimed to be a great fisherman, but I do know some life principles that pertain to fishing that we can take and incorporate into our life. When it comes to being a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes to being a missionary in the effort of furthering the gospel, there are some basic life principles that we can take and incorporate into our life. And so you'll notice these on our outline today. Notice this. It says, in fishing for men, you will need to, number one, or bullet point number one, have a love for fish. It's that simple. I've never known a fisherman that didn't like fish. There's something to be said about liking fish. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? It's simply this. You've got to have a love for people. In other words, as a child of God, God has called you to be a witness to this lost, dark, and dying world. Hear me today. We live in a world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And dear Christian friend, you've got the good news. I mean, you've got the gospel. You've got that life-changing message, and God has called all of us. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the deacons or the leaders of the church. Dear friend, if you're a child of God, you have been called to have a love for people. Do you love people? I know that's a simple question. I pray that you do. I pray that as you go through life, whether you're at work or at home or at church, or maybe stopping by the post office or shopping at the mall or eating at a restaurant, whatever it might be, the people that you encounter, here is my question to you today. Do you see people as Jesus sees people? I pray that you do. Part of an evangelistic church, one of the attributes of a healthy church and a soul-winning church will be a collection of people that love God and see people as Jesus sees people. We have got to have a love for fish, so to speak. And we're called to be fishers of men. I mean, we all have been placed on this earth for one sole purpose, and that's to give God glory. And part of that giving God glory is being faithful with our witness and seeing people as Jesus sees them. You've got to have a love for fish. We cannot be an evangelistic church if we do not show the love of Christ to the people that we encounter. And we as a congregation, God has strategically positioned Meridian Baptist Church in South Knoxville. God has put us here for a purpose. And with that in mind, we must see people as Jesus sees them and harness every opportunity that we have to be a witness for Jesus Christ. There are people out there today that are hungry for the gospel. They want the truth. We live in a world that is seeking truth. And dear friend, as a child of God, you have the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we first have to have a love for fish. Number two, you've got to enjoy fishing. You know, I mentioned hanging out with my friend from high school, and we would go to Pickwick Lake, and I've never really, I'm just being honest with you, I've never been a fisherman, and quite frankly, at times I found it boring. But he loved fishing. He had a love for going out and going fishing. When we take this metaphor and we think about what Jesus is teaching the disciples, it reminds us of the fact that if we're going to be evangelistic in nature, if we're going to have a heartbeat for the gospel and a heartbeat for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and see people as Jesus sees them and have a love for fish, as I just described to you a minute ago, we also have to have a love for fishing. In other words, there ought to be something within us that we're just bubbling over that we want to tell others the good news of the gospel. I remember growing up and I would hear my grandmother, and I love my grandmother dearly, but she was very opinionated on many things. And my grandmother would say something like this, and I'm sure that you've had a relative say something like this. She would say, there's two things you never talk about. What are they? You remember? Politics and religion. I love my grandmother, but I really believe she missed the mark when it comes to the issue of religion. See, I don't want to talk about religion. I want to talk about a relationship. There's something to be said about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I promise you this, Jesus changes everything. And this world is looking for the answer. And Jesus is the answer. I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it would be like as a child of God and as a Christian that we think that we ought to somehow keep our Christianity to ourselves. I mean, I understand what my grandmother probably was getting at from one vantage point, but from another vantage point, there is a calling upon our life in Scripture to where we're called to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. We've got to enjoy fishing. The third bullet point is simply this. You need to go where the fish are. If you've ever gone fishing or been with a fisherman, they know about the offshoots and the coves where the fish reside, do they not? They know exactly the spot that they need to go to harness the most amount of fish. And I would make the argument that this applies to evangelism. When it comes to our witness for the gospel, we need to go where the people are. Sometimes we have this idea that the church is supposed to internalize everything and we insulate ourselves from the world. But that's not what we find when it comes to the Great Commission. God has called the church to go out into the world and be a witness and to be that lighthouse that we're called to be. And so we're to go where the fish are. You may remember that Jesus was criticized for hanging out with sinners. By the way, you can find that in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Jesus was criticized for hanging out with sinners. I want to encourage you today that if we're truly going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, we have got to get out of that comfort zone and go out into the world and find people that are in need of the gospel. We've got to go where the fish are. Number four, bullet point number four, I would simply say this. You've got to have the right equipment. You may remember just a few months ago, we spent a few Sundays looking at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And just as we need the equipment that we find in the armor of God that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, we also need the proper equipment when it comes to being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to have the right tools. What are some of those tools? Well, notice the next bullet point. You've got to have the right type of net. There's your next blank. The right type of net. And so what do I mean by that? Well, let's just talk a bit. I don't know if this is really a sermon here per se, but just some thoughts that come to mind. We need to constantly have our antenna up looking for people that need Jesus Christ. Pray that God would put people in your path that you can be a witness to in all that you do and all that you say. In other words, there's got to be some way that we catch people for Christ. Jesus says to be about the business of catching men. We need to pull them into the gospel. I don't mean that as some sort of trap. Know this, the gospel is the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And that's not something we're to keep to ourselves. I had a professor in college, Timothy Booker, probably had the greatest impact upon my ministry, and he wrote what he referred to as the bridges of the gospel. And so I want to share just a few of these bridges that you can use in your witnessing toolbox, so to speak. Maybe you're in a conversation with a coworker and you're looking for a way that you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are a couple of what he calls bridges or conversation starters. Maybe that's a better way to put it, conversation starters. He refers to the first one as the church bridge. You could ask something like this. Were you brought up in a particular religious tradition? Did they talk about heaven much in your church? What does your church teach about the way a person becomes a Christian? And so this is a great way to have a conversation and have that church bridge, so to speak, and find out more about that person's spiritual background. May I say this to you? Just because somebody may be religious doesn't mean that they're a believer. You see, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And we live in a culture and society today, and we live in this ecumenical world that we have this concept and idea that all roads lead to Rome, that all religions lead to the one true God. And hear me today, all world religions do not lead to the one true God. Only Jesus Christ leads to the one true God. And you'll bump into people all day that might be religious in nature, so to speak, but that doesn't mean that they're truly a believer. And so it's important when you talk to somebody to maybe know a little bit about their background. One other thought that I want to share. I think a lot of times, and this is just me sharing my heart, I think a lot of times we get the idea that witnessing is just walking up to a total stranger and maybe knocking on their door, whatever the case may be, and we immediately begin shoving the gospel down their throat and going through a bunch of passages of scripture. And in some cases, that might work. Don't misunderstand me. But I would make the argument with you today that the best way to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is not to try to just immediately bombard them with a bunch of scripture. I would share with you today that you need to build a relationship. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. I know you've heard that before, but there's so much truth to that. People want to know that you genuinely, radically, authentically care about them. And part of being a witness is showing that care. Dr. Bucher also talks about the personal experience bridge. These are some questions you could ask. Through the years, have you come to know Christ in a personal way? Is your current level of interest in how is your current level of interest in spiritual things? Where are you in your own personal search for the meaning of life? That could be the personal experience bridge. How about the intellectual bridge? Is there any specific question or concern that is hanging you up in your spiritual journey? Has anyone ever shared with you what the Bible teaches? Has anyone ever shared with you how to have a personal relationship with God? And so there are some people that you'll encounter and they approach the Bible from an intellectual standpoint. What a great opportunity to pull them in and show them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another bridge that Dr. Bucher talks about is the personal opinion bridge. In your personal opinion, what is a Christian? Another question, what do you think of God? What do you think of Jesus Christ and religion, the Bible, the meaning of life? Maybe it could be what's called the current issues bridge. I'll never forget the summer after my high school year, senior year. I was working at Sherwin-Williams outside of Memphis in Bartlett, Tennessee. And one of the employees there was a guy about my age. I had been there since March. He maybe got there about May. So I had been there just a hair longer. But we were both unloading the 18-wheeler with all the paint on it. And we were just conversing and talking. And it was evident that this young man did not know the Lord. And we actually began talking about social issues and current events. And we got on the issue of abortion. And I shared with him that I thought that abortion is wrong. It's murder. It's killing babies. And I explained to him why I believed what I believed, and he was pro-choice. And so we went back and forth. It wasn't necessarily an argument, but he expressed his opinion and I expressed mine. And over time, all of that summer of 94 and into 94, 95, summer 95, I had that opportunity to build that relationship. And eventually, Brian Morris is his name. Brian gave his heart to Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. He now pastors Ararat Baptist Church in Jackson, Tennessee. A life-changing experience. Why? Because we had a current events conversation. You can actually find gospel opportunities by discussing current events. Another bridge that Dr. Bucher talks about is the sports bridge. Maybe there's a coworker that you have that loves sports. And you can mention an athlete that is a believer, that's a Christian, and maybe that can lead to a conversation about the gospel. Another bridge that Bucher mentions is the Phelps needs bridge. We all have needs. We all have problems in life. And maybe you can find that as a door, as a witnessing tool, to talk about those problems and needs in life. What about this one? Just simply saying, can I pray for you? Is there anything specific that I can pray for you? And that can lead to the gospel. A relationship bridge. I've kind of hinted at this one. Again, you've got to build relationships. If you want to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord, you've got to take the time to build those relationships. And so it goes on and on. But you've got to have the proper equipment and you've got to have the right net, so to speak, in your witnessing for the Lord. The next bullet point I would point out is simply this. You've got to be patient. I'm not a very patient person. I'm the guy that puts something in the microwave for 30 seconds, and I wonder why it's taking so long. And maybe you're impatient. But when it comes to being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to evangelism and sharing your faith and cultivating those relationships and leading someone to the gospel, may I say this to you today, you've got to be patient. A good fisherman will be a patient fisherman. And so again, we see the metaphor that Jesus gives of being fishers of men. Be patient. The next one is simply this. Don't get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. Maybe there's someone that you've been witnessing to for quite some time, and they've yet to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get discouraged. God hasn't called us to be successful, but He has called us to be faithful. The next thing I would simply say is, stay out of sight. I hate to burst your bubble, and I think we all know this, but oftentimes it's good to hear. This life that we live is not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if we want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, if we want God to give us the opportunity to be a witness for Him and share the gospel and have those gospel conversations, the truth of the matter is simply this. Sometimes we need to get out of the way. And when it comes to actual fishing, and you talk to a fisherman, they want that exactly in their life as a fisherman. They want to stay out of sight. They don't want to be a distraction to the fish. They want to be successful in their catching the fish. And so if we want to be successful in our witness, so to speak, we've got to understand the need to stay out of sight. Two other things that I would point out on your outline today, two things that we need to remember. The first one is simply this, whoever fishes catches the most fish. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, if we're going to be fishers of men, it would be good for us to remember that whoever fishes catches the most fish. And then finally, I would simply say this. We need to remember that you only catch them. You and I only catch them, but God cleans them. Let me say that again. We've been called to catch them, but God is the one who cleans them up. Now, don't misunderstand me. That is in no way to insinuate that the church is somehow not called to discipleship. We ought to have every opportunity available for someone to grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and help them further their walk with the Lord. But God has not called us to be the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that miraculous work in their life. And so we have to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to be about the business of working in that individual's life. One final thought. I pray that we as a church would truly be about the business of fishing for men, and that it wouldn't simply be talk. I close with this thought. The story is told this way. On the edge of a great sea, there once lived a group of fishermen. Week after week and year after year, these fishermen met together to talk about fishing. They talked about their call to fish. They talked about their abundance of fish in the sea. And they talked about fishing as an occupation. And they talked about recruiting new fishermen. There was only one thing they didn't do. They didn't fish. The fishermen built large, beautiful buildings in which to hold their fishing meetings, and the cry went forth that everyone should be a fisherman, and that every fisherman should fish. There was only one thing they didn't do. They didn't fish. In addition to their regular meetings, the fishermen organized a committee. The committee was composed of those who had great vision and courage for fishing. They spoke eloquently about fishing in faraway seas, where many other fish of different colors lived. The committee hired staffs and appointed a board and held many meetings. They defined fishing, they defended fishing, and they decided what fishing techniques should be used. The staff and committee discussed everything that possibly could be discussed about fishing. There was only one thing they didn't do. Do y'all want to guess? They didn't fish. A speakers forum was established to allow special speakers to address the subject of fishing. After one stirring speech on the necessity of fishing, one young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day, he reported that he had caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and was scheduled to visit all the big meetings to tell the other fishermen how he did it. He quit fishing in order to have time to tell about his experience. He was placed on the fishermen's committee as a person with considerable experience. Many of the fishermen made admirable sacrifices in order to be fishermen. Some lived near the water and bore the smell of dead fish. Some received ridicule from those who made fun of their fishermen's meetings. Those who felt there was little benefit in attending the talks about fishing often discouraged them. There were many difficulties they endured because they followed their master who said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishermen." One day, a passing by pilgrim suggested that those who didn't fish were really not fishermen, no matter how much they claimed to be. You can imagine how hurt they were. But it did sound faintly correct. Is a person really a fisherman if year after year he never tries to successfully catch a fish? I think that's pertinent of the church today. And I don't mean that necessarily aimed at our congregation here at Meridian. I'm simply saying this, that for decades and decades upon decades, the local church, the Christian church, the evangelical church, we do a lot to talk about being a witness and sharing our faith, but are we going out and doing what God has called us to do? We are called to be fishers of men. And all God's people said, amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. It doesn't matter what bridge we use, as Dr. Bucher put it. Maybe there's an opening for you to have a conversation with someone and you choose to use one of those conversation starters. But I think we all know the heart of the gospel. It's simply this, that we're all in the same boat. We all have a sin problem. And that sin problem separates us from God. And the only way that we can find peace and fulfillment in life is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God commendeth, that is, demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those handful of verses that I just shared with you, they're referred to as the Roman Road. And they explain the gospel. They tell the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning is, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? In just a moment, we're going to have a gospel invitation. And if there's never been that moment of conversion, there's never been that moment when you've called out to Jesus to save you, I'm going to encourage you in just a moment to step out. And I'd be honored to sit down with you and show you in the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you are a believer and you just want to come and pray. I'd be honored to encourage you through prayer. Or maybe God is leading you to make another decision. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe God has brought you to Meridian for a purpose. And God is uniting you with our church family to roll up your sleeves and serve for His glory. If that's the case, you come today so that we can rejoice in your decision. Finally, maybe it's another decision. Maybe it's for believer's baptism. Maybe you've never followed in believer's baptism, and God has placed it upon your heart that you need to do just that. If that's the case, again, we invite you to do so today. Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation. Lord, we thank you for the richness of your word as we have considered what it means to be fishers of men. Father, I pray that you would just help us to live out what the gospel says, to be faithful in our witness. Help the Meridian family to be ambassadors for you in all that we do and all that we say. May we be fishers of men. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Folks, certainly a joy to be in God's house today. I'm going to ask Jeff Hinkle if he'll come and stand next to me. Jeff has been visiting for quite some time. I know that we got here about June, and I think Jeff has been visiting at least since then, maybe even before we got here. And I appreciate Johnny and Sandy and all that they do. And Jeff has been attending with Johnny and Sandy. We're thankful for that. But Jeff and I had a conversation this morning during the Sunday school hour, and he gave his heart to Christ a couple of years ago and has dedicated his life to the Lord Jesus. And he wants a church family. He needs a church home. And so today he comes by statement of faith. Do I have a motion to accept his membership?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Folks, what a wonderful, wonderful way to end our service. And again, Jeff Hinkle is here with us. And so we want to extend the right hand of fellowship as we dismiss services today. God is so good, and I'm thankful for the blessings that he's given us as we've begun a new church year of 2025, already two new members, and that is such a blessing. So you guys know the drill. Tommy Lavelle is going to come and lead in our closing word of prayer, and after Tommy prays, y'all come and extend the right hand of fellowship to Jeff and just let him know how glad you are that he's come to unite with the family here at Meridian Baptist Church. One quick announcement, church council and budget and finance team, we have a meeting today at 3:30. So if you're part of that, plan on being here for that. Brother Tommy.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you
that your church is not this building, Father. The church is the people who have made the commitment to follow you. And we ask that as we go this week that you would help us to be fishermen, that you would help us to look around those who need you, and that we would go out and we would go deep and that we would go fishing. In Jesus' name, amen.